Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Cut me down. I'm awfully hot, awfully high. Amen. Praise the Lord. While they're getting the mics toned down a little bit, I wonder who has a praise report tonight. I just feel like it's a good time to give God praise. God's done something for you this week. If you just, he'd give you breath and life. Amen. That's something to pray for. We're saved, born again. That's something else to praise for. But if you got something to praise the Lord for, here's your opportunity. Stand and give the Lord praise. Sister Elaine.
Monday evening, I was so excited
God. God's great, isn't he? Amen. That's, Daddy always said, that's the reason they call them accidents. They don't call them mean to's, because we don't mean to get into those things, but it can happen just that fast. Amen. But it's good to know that God's with us always. Amen. Anyone else tonight? It's your opportunity. No one has a praise report. Yes, ma'am. Sister Michelle. Praise God.
Another praise report. So when we moved here 3 years ago in June, from Missouri, we still had a house in Missouri for sale. Well, we finally sold it, but then September of 2017, we're getting sued from the people that bought the house. Long story short, the Lord saved us. I can't tell you how much money it would have cost to get in.
Praise God. Amen. Thank God. Faith is a powerful tool. Amen. God honors faith. And so many times when we face circumstances, sometimes it looks bleak. Sometimes we can't see the answer. But I like what Sister Michelle said. I'm believing. Amen. Putting it in the Lord's hands and know that he's taking me higher. And he's going to make a way. Amen. And again, we talked about last night about... I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Amen. Isn't that a promise? David wrote that in this one of his Psalms, and we can relate to that because, you know, it's the same thing with the meal barrel effect. We talk about the meal barrel all the time. You know, if I was to offer you, you'd rather have a full meal barrel or one that never runs out? The one that never runs out doesn't look very much, but it'll last a lot longer than a full meal barrel. So, and again, when the disciples was asking Jesus, how should we pray? And he said, give us this day our daily bread. So I think sometimes Satan, our adversary, likes to look at big things and problem areas and things like that. But if we'll just know that God blesses us each and every day, and he's a sustaining God, and he will take care of us if we put our faith and trust in him. Amen. Anyone else tonight with a praise report? I feast off of praise reports, by the way. Amen. Because faith is contagious. When you hear that a testimony where God has come on the scene for someone else, it certainly builds your faith and to know that God is able to do these things. Anyone else before we get into the Word tonight? Sister Brenda? In everything, give thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, if we could apply that to our lives, continually thank the Lord. Amen. There's no telling the blessings that God would bestow upon us. It's so good to see you tonight. I truly hope that you're all having a wonderful week, each and every one. Sister Lori, amen. Amen. Praise God.
But they're both doing a lot better. I'm very appreciative of the prayers, and I thank the Lord for
doing. Good praise report. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Healer of our body. Yes, sir. Sure. Absolutely. Love praise reports. Remember
and
that.
He's all excited about it because in a few weeks they were going to do the bone marrow transplant. And Brother Jeff, this most of us know, stood up there on that corner of the pulpit and he said, he kept saying, I feel like there's going to be a miracle in the church. service tonight. Uh-huh. He kept saying it over and over. Well, what was so strange, and it turned out to be an error, that night when we got back home, my brother got a phone call from his wife. Exactly at 7:15 that night, doctors called her up and told her, said the doctor was going to do the surgery. Told her, says, I did something unusual. I double-checked the bone marrow test that I was going to do on you, and to see how close the match was. And she, the doctor says, I hate to tell you this, if we had used that, we would have not came out of recovery. We would have killed you. That was a miracle, the judge was talking about. Now, since then, she's been going through a lot of tough times, and the doctor told her 2 weeks ago that if she didn't find a match, or they didn't find a match, soon that she probably would not make it to the end of the year. And then this past weekend, her nephew that lives in Washington, D.C., got tested and he's a match.
Praise God.
I'm a match for us, so God bless you, that's right. But just that night, I mean, it was, like my brother said, I've talked to him, and you know my brother, but he told me, he says, I just couldn't get over what that gentleman said up there about the miracle. And I didn't think it was going to happen. My life.
Right.
So, we don't know
how
God's going to work. He's unbelievable.
That's true. Amen. God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, and he told me when he talked to me, he said, because he knew the church had prayed for him, that he said, so thankful for our church.
Amen. What does the song say? Praise God. The song says he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he's always there on time. And someone else said that God likes to work when nothing else will. Why is that? So that he gets the honor and glory. So that can't put the honor and glory on anything else that God stepped in when nothing else would work. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. Go with us to the book of Ephesians. We're going to go into a little bit of the fifth chapter tonight. Last week we were in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, the writings of the Apostle Paul. A wonderful, wonderful instructional book, as well as all of the epistles are, mainly for believers. Certainly there's text in there for the unbeliever to come to an open confession of Christ, but a lot of his instruction is to the established church and how that we, as he was ministering to them, should conduct our lives and how that we should live a holy and righteous life before God. And how many knows we can't do it by ourselves? Amen. We have to have the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you for standing. I'm just going to read the first two verses, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll just let the Holy Ghost lead us from there. In the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, chapter or verse number 1 and 2, be ye therefore followers. Everybody say followers.
Followers.
Of God as dear children. Listen and pay particular attention to what he uses as an example. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for your Spirit. We're thankful for those who have gathered here tonight, God, and especially thankful for your Word. God, we pray that your word would lead us and guide us and instruct us in the path that you would have us to go. Father, I pray, God, that we'll be ever learning of your will and your word. I pray tonight, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, that you'll just use this vessel to speak to us tonight. Speak to our heart, speak to our spirit, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will. Father, we do remember, as we've already prayed for so many who are sick and afflicted tonight, but God, again, we just want to bring them before you and ask, God, that you would minister to them each and every need, those in the hospitals and the nursing homes, those that were sick tonight and couldn't come. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them. Now, God, just help us to be in one mind and one accord tonight. And God, we'll be so careful giving you praise, honor, and glory for all of your many, many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Again, you may be seated. Tonight, if we just had a message text, it would basically be followers of Christ or followers of God. Now, the example that he uses here, be ye therefore followers, in one of the Hebrew and Greek definitions, it also mentions alongside followers comma, imitators. Imitators. Now, sometimes imitators get a kind of an enigma that's something that you're making fun of or putting somebody in. We have all kind of imitators today. But here it's meant in the highest form of a compliment, to pattern or follow a pattern or an example that has been set for you. And this is what the Apostle Paul was referring to when he was talking to the church at Ephesus. And he told them, be you followers. First of all, I want us to look at followers and look at someone who imitates or patterns their life after someone. And he's quick to say, you need to be followers of God. Notice he didn't say, don't be followers of me. Be followers of God. In one place he says, follow me as I follow God. But, you know, always God is the supreme one that we're supposed to pattern our life on. Seek God. Seek ye first His kingdom. And then these other things in our life will be added to us. But we need to constantly consult God and ask Him to lead us and guide us in every facet of our life. Certainly when we congregate, certainly when we come into the house of the Lord, into the tabernacle of praise and worship, we should consult God and pray to God and ask Him to lead us and guide us in our service, but in our everyday walk as well. I was so thankful that my mom and dad instructed me to consult God in decision making. And even at a very early age, before I was really, accepting the Spirit of the Lord. Again, I told you that I was raised in church and I went through the motions of going to church, and a lot of that stuck, but none of that did me any good until I went to an altar of repentance. Just understand and know that all of my goodness in the world wouldn't have got me into heaven. But finally, one day, I understood that I needed to make things right with the Lord. But even in that early age, I knew to consult God. And I would pray to God, especially in my school and different matters and situations and decisions in my life. And I learned that from my parents. I was taught that. I know it was in the Word of God, and I heard it in the pulpit, but I was instructed. How many of you know sometimes in order to learn something, you need to hear it more than once? There's some kind of equation going around that you have to do something so many times before it actually becomes a habit in your life. I want it to be a habit that I consult God. I want it to be a habit that I talk to Him and I ask of His instructions and I ask Him to lead me and guide me, not only in my spiritual walk with Him, but in my everyday walk with Him. When I'm out there in the world and the other things that I have to conduct, business affairs and situations, even with my home and all, I just want to make sure that I'm in tune with what God wants in my life. So the Apostle Paul says, be followers of God or imitators of God, or let God be the supreme pattern in our life as dear children. Now, when we think about children, and we know Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Certainly he was talking about the humility and the inability to really hate or have prejudice or animosity. Just the wonderful attributes of a child. You know, they just kind of know how to love. But here he's referring to be maybe young, but he's talking to an adult group here, but he's talking to them as being children that accept what their father's doing or accept the pattern that is before them. And I remember, trying to mimic my dad. I remember trying to be like my dad. I remember I had some uncles, and some of them were very athletic. And, the little thing is, when your family gets together, some of the people say, well, what, you know, who do you want to be like? Or what do you want to be like when you grow up? And I remember they were some of them, I want to be like so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so. I want to play football or baseball or something like that. They asked me, and I said, I just want to be like Daddy. And Daddy had not told me to do that. And later on, Daddy put his arm around and he said, son, I sure am proud that you said that. He said, I don't know what made you say that. But I saw something in Daddy's life. And I was truly honest when I said, I want to be like Daddy, because I knew there was a pattern there. I knew there was something that I wanted to mimic in my life. And even as a very young child, I remember when Dad owned a little rolling store. That's what it was, a little peddler. And he had a little storehouse there, and there was one house between it, which my great-grandfather and great-grandmother lived in, and then we lived in the lower house. And so Dad, when he would come in off of his route in the evening, he would come home and he would eat supper, and then after supper, he would go back up to the little storehouse and he would load his rolling store or his peddling store for the next day's route. This was before I started the school, so I was somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 years old. But I can barely remember, I would follow him up there. And, you know, this was before street lights. We didn't have street lights or security lights or anything. But I would follow him up there, and I would think that I was helping him. I'm sure at this point in time I was probably more in the way than I was helping him, but I would follow him. And I remember that I would not look at the destination. I did not look at the store. I did not look at the storehouse or the rolling store. I mainly watched Dad's feet. And wherever he would step, I would try to step in his footsteps. Daddy was about 6 foot tall. I was really, really short. So it's taken me a long time to try to get into his footsteps. But I remember that. And that was just a little kid thing. You know, that was my daddy. I knew that I was safe as long as I had my eyes on him. And I knew he was going to lead me to the right place, so I was going to follow him. I didn't have to look to the left or the right. I knew he was going to lead me there. But many, many years later, after my dad's been gone since 2008, I still think about that. And in the place of my natural dad, I want God to be my pattern. I want to, even though I can't visually see him, I want to walk in the path that God would have me to walk. And if I do that, I don't really need to look to the left or the right. I don't really need to look to the destination as long as I follow in the footsteps of my Lord and Savior, as long as I follow in the path that He leads me and He directs me and guides me. And I believe this is what the Apostle Paul was referring to when he said, as dear children. Dear children are very, very trusting. Very trusting to believe everything a grown up says. The same grandmother that I live next door to. This is a little comical, but you know, to keep the children and the grandchildren, the great grandchildren, because there was a lot of us relatives in the same vicinity, to keep the boys in the yard in the evening at night, and where she wouldn't have to keep a watch on them, she came up with this little saying and told us that there was a black panther that lived in the woods just beyond the yard. And you talk about a bunch of scared little fellers. Now, we would play and we'd play, and all of a sudden, you know, you might hear something, and, oh, that's the Black Panther. We better get to the house, you know. And you know, it was years and years and years later till we found out that there was really no Black Panther that lived down there, but it kept every one of us in check. Amen. But we believe that. That is the honesty and the trustworthiness of a child. And I believe this is what the Apostle Paul was referring to. Not walk as children who are not mature in Christ. Not walk as children who are just easily swept by anything or any doctrine or anything. But be steadfast and unmovable in the Word of God. But be trusting and honest and sincere as little children to follow after God and to pattern our life after Jesus Christ. And we are supposed to pattern our life after Jesus Christ. We call ourselves Christians, meaning that we're Christ-like. We're Christ-like in our salvation, but we're also Christ-like in our mannerisms and the way that we conduct ourselves and the way that we treat one another. Amen. And that's a big, big important part, as the Apostle Paul is referring, because this whole chapter is basically about walking in love. Walking in love means operating in love. And we need to love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen. And that's saying a mouthful there. It's when we use the word love so loosely. So many times we refer to many, many things as love. But when we really, really have that agape love, that wonderful love that Christ had, that means love without expecting anything in return. That unmerited favor, that unmerited love and grace that Jesus Christ Himself exemplified when He was on this earth. And then He says, as you are followers or imitators or those that try to mimic the lifestyle or be like that person that is in front of you, which in this case was God, and then God in man through the form of Jesus Christ. He says, and walk in love as who? As Christ also hath loved us. So there is a walk to that, and that is a spiritual walk. It doesn't necessarily mean a physical walk, how that we walk or that, but it's a spiritual walk, how we conduct our lives. The things that we say. How many knows we're accountable for things that we say and the conversations? You know, many, many times we try to testify or witness to people, and, you know, many, many times they're listening to what we say, but they're more in tune to how we act and what we do and our actions. So we are to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Now, does anybody here tonight doubt the love that Christ has shed for us? I don't see how any Christian could, knowing the fact that He gave Himself on the cross of Calvary. Why? Not because He deserved it. Not because He had any sin. Not because He had any iniquity in His life. He was not guilty As the song says, the only thing he was guilty was love in the first degree. But he loved us that much. And then in turn, the apostle says, we are to love one another as Christ has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I thought about an offering and a sacrifice. And if we love one another, it should never really be this or counted as an offering or sacrifice when we help our brother or sister. Man, that ought to be something that we should do, amen, because that we love one another. And love one another doesn't just mean shake your hand, pat you on the back, say, I love you. That's the easy part, amen. Loving one another is loving them with that spirit that is within us. So that's what the Apostle Paul was telling us to do as a sweet-smelling savor. And then I began to think about the attributes and the characteristics that Christ exemplified on this earth. Now, we're going to read some things here that the Apostle Paul said, these are the don'ts, okay? These is what you don't become involved in. These are the things that you don't do. These are the kind of actions that God is not pleased with. And he goes ahead and mentions in verse number 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Okay? Now, saint is a very intense word when we declare living as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These are some very specific things and guidelines and don'ts that we can honestly read in the Word and know these are things that we don't have in our life. And then I go back up to verse number 1 when he said, be you followers of God as dear children. Then I thought about this. I know there's the fruits of the Spirit, and I know there's some things in the Word of God that encourage us, not only encourage us, but instruct us to put into our lives, to be a part of what a Christian walk with the Lord is. And then I thought tonight, maybe we can make this a reality in our life and in our congregation and make it personal when we begin to think, what are some of the characteristics that Christ had that we want to mimic in our life? What are some of the things that impress us about what we read in the four Gospels and the life of Christ and then the red letters and the words of Christ that would behoove us to want to mimic those same things that Christ did? And you think, well, that would be pretty easy to list. But I want to give us an opportunity tonight. It's Wednesday night. It's a time, many times, you know how I am, sometimes we'll just kind of open it up and we get some feedback. And I thought that would be really, really good tonight and instructive, because what is important to you that you want to see in Christ's life that you want more in your life? Does that make sense? Am I conveying it okay? Here we have a list of things we know. We don't. These are things that you don't do. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Don't even let them be mentioned once, but among you. These are not things that are associated with being a saint. But what are some of the things that are associated with being a saint or a child of God, or what Jesus Christ portrayed when he walked? Now remember, he only walked on this earth, or was here on this earth for what, 33 and a half years. And his ministry, according to the Jewish custom, was only like 3.5 years. So he wasn't even considered a priest or minister, anything except for like, but what a difference he made and what an impact he had. There was no social media, there was no TV, there was no satellite to beam it all over the world, but yet he had such an impact on multitudes of people. Many people just would see him, hear his voice. The fishermen, the disciples, laid down their nets, laid down their occupation and followed him. The tax collector got up, quit his business and followed Christ. There was something spectacular. We know that it was God and man. But what were those accolades? What were those characteristics? What were those things that we need to mimic in our life? And I'll hush and I'll let, yes, ma'am. Love, absolutely. Love probably would head, and the Bible says God is love. So, if we we even talked about that last week, that God and love is synonymous. I mean, if you say that that I've got God in my life, then you shouldn't have to say, well, that I love, because the actions ought to prove that. So love is very, very important. Love is mentioned so many times in the Bible. And again, let's don't use this word loosely. Let's really, really comprehend what love is. We know the word. We know that we use it a lot. But it's an action too. It's really conveying and sharing that love with others. And, you know, love, sometimes you can love somebody and not even have to say a word. A certain look, a certain phone call, or a letter. You know, I know letters and cards are old-fashioned, but you know what? When God lays, and you know what I'm talking about, when He taps your heart about something and you think about somebody, and for no occasion, no birthday, no anniversary, but you just write something really simple and loving on a card or a letter and send that to somebody, I believe with all of my heart that that person needs that at that particular time in their life. I know that God lays it on your heart and it's a good thing to do, but I think if we're really in tune with the Spirit of God, then that recipient is the one that's going to be blessed by you just taking a little time, amen, writing a note or whatever it is. I know it's old-fashioned. It's easier to send a text. But it's so personal on a card. It's so personal on a little letter. And so many times we hear that, and then when somebody will say, you know what, I was facing something, and I got that little note, and it just made my day. Now, that's putting love into motion. You know, that's it's good to say, I love you, but when you do something like that, you're giving that type of love that Christ had. So love is certainly, you know, way up there, probably, if not one, number one. How can you number one through the wonderful characteristics of God? They're all equally important. So love. Anybody else? What else in Jesus' life? Sister Jenny, yes, please. Wow. That's true. That's an excellent point. He loved, and sometimes tough love is telling people the truth. But he did, didn't he? He didn't hold back. He was determined to get the truth out. You know, sometimes we think we're being nice because we're just telling people what they want to hear. But if we really love their soul, that's an excellent point. Then we'll tell them, we'll be determined to tell them the truth. And that's good, Sister Jean. I think we all need to have that in our life, you know, to love one another. Because honestly, you know, it wasn't God's will that any should perish. And if we got God in our life, it should be our will that nobody should perish. No one. Honestly, I think heaven would be enough, big enough for everybody. And I want everybody that I know, everybody I come in contact, to go. Now, whether they will or not is up to them. But I can't think of anybody that I would not want to go to heaven. And I believe Jesus was the same way. So incorporate that into my life as Jesus exemplified that. Excellent, excellent. Someone else. Sister Lori. Wow. Forgiveness. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? That's another word kind of like love. We use it. I forgive you. Do you? Do you really? You know, you can say I forgive, and it sounds good, but if you forgive and you still got it in your heart, is that really forgiveness? Something to think about. What was Jesus' example? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They just beat him. They just embedded a crown of thorns upon his head. He was bloody. They crucified him, hung him on and ridiculed him, called him all manner of names. You know what he had the power to do? He had the power to bring down angels, absolutely, to wipe them off the face of the earth. But he forgave them. And he said, Father, forgive them. Not only do I forgive them, but don't even hold that against them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is great. A wonderful, wonderful characteristic and attribute of Christ. And certainly we need more of that in our life. I agree. Anyone else? These are great. Yes, sir.
Looking to not my plans, God, your will be done, and looking to Him. I need to do that so much more.
Absolutely. Can I put it this way? Jesus did it when it wasn't convenient. You know, a lot of Christians serve Him as when it's convenient. But Lord, you know, let it be in my life to serve You and walk for You and live for You, even when it's not convenient. And that's the sacrifice part, you know. And God will bless and honor every sacrifice. But Jesus certainly did that. I mean, there was many, many times. I mean, well, just think about the necessities that we think we have to have. Jesus didn't. He didn't have an automobile. Didn't really have a home after He started ministering. He was just here and there and everywhere. Didn't know where His next meal would come from. How many of that would just, we would just panic if we didn't know where our next meal was coming from or who was going to put us up. But Jesus was about the Father's business. Wow. That's great. That's great. I knew y'all had some good stuff. I just felt it. Someone else. Compassion. Absolutely. Compassion is something that, compassion and concern. We were getting off I-20 on Highway 5, and y'all know what I'm talking about. There was a fellow there with a sign, homeless, you know. And Kylie was with us. Kylie was just really small then, probably not even school age yet. I don't even think Trey was born. So the traffic lines up, you know, so I tell Penny, I said, you know, give the man $2. That's what I usually do, give him $2. So I did, and she rolled her window down and put $2. So we rolled the window down, and Kylie, what was you doing? I said, well, we was helping him because he's homeless. She said, oh, can we buy him a home? I had concern. She had compassion, okay? She was ready to take the big step. Compassion is great. And you know, yeah. Well, Jesus had compassion on those, the multitude. And before He ministered to them, He fed them. They didn't bring anything to eat, but He took the little boy's lunch and He blessed it and broke it and fed 5,000 with 2 fishes and 5 loaves. That's really compassion. And compassion is something that we need to infiltrate into our life. These are great. Somebody ought to be making a list of these. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, Sister Jessica. Absolutely.
I thought about when he met the Samaritan woman, you know, what would a Jew have to do with the Samaritan woman? But yet, he did, and he helped her, you know, find salvation, not just work, but more than that. And then I thought about the stoning of the woman, and he asked, you know, who's here to hear, cast her off. So he was always bold to go against the grain and to not follow the religious leaders or follow the religious leaders.
Absolutely. He even admonished the Pharisees and Sadducees, boldly told them, you know, oh, you're worried about the outward and the inward is so dirty and all. So, yeah, he was very bold in it. But, you know, you can be bold in the truth. You do not have to apologize for the truth. And that's the thing. You know, when you know that it's, and you know that you know, confidence replaces fear. So you can be bold. And sometimes, oh me, we may be a little lax in that. Maybe we know the truth and for fear of being offensive, fear of hurting someone's feelings, maybe we're not as bold. But if you do it in love, and there is a difference, there's a difference. You can do it in, you know, animosity or hatefulness, but if you do it in love, even the truth that's hard to bear will be received. Amen. I've heard some mighty, mighty strong messages in my life. But instead of getting mad at the preacher, it almost made you just want to go hug his neck, you know, thanks for being truthful with me. You know, I think about like a physician, a doctor. I want him to be truthful with me. I don't want him to sugarcoat it. You know, tell me what it is. Let's fix it and let's go on, you know. It may not be what I want to hear, but, you know, this is what we're going to do. So, yeah, truth and boldness hand in hand. Anybody else? Man, I love this. I love it when y'all preach to me. Preachers need to eat too, right? They have to eat the Word of God. Anybody else?
Can I just say
one? Yes. Got another one?
It might go hand in hand with my first.
Okay.
But faith, I mean, when he said it, he knew it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. Because he
Right.
I want that.
His faith was not wishing it would happen. It was knowing that it would happen. And wow, if we had that kind of faith, you know, and sometimes even though we're saints and we're Bible readers and all, sometimes we, you know, I'll say me, sometimes we pray wishing it would, but if we have faith knowing that it's, I mean, when Jesus spoke, he knew it was going to come to pass. And he also instilled that into his disciples, because after his death and resurrection, the apostles, they went out and people were healed, you know, even by the shadow of Peter, by the faith and all. And something must have really happened to Peter, because he was denying Christ three times before the Holy Ghost came down and filled the upper 20. And then he got boldness. Amen. And because he began to declare that. So, you know, patterning Jesus. And again, when we think about it, be therefore followers, imitators of Christ in everything that we do. What is the little bracelet, WWJD? What would Jesus do? I've seen that thing shaking her hand at somebody driving by. That's a pretty bracelet, WWJD, shaking your hand, getting angry. You know, are we really patterning our life after Christ when we say that? We're saying a mouthful when we say we're Christian. All right. Anybody else before we close tonight? Humility. Can boldness and humility be in the same vessel? It almost sounds like an oxymoron, but it's true. Yeah, boldness and humility. No more could be any more humble than Jesus. But yet he was bold in what he spoke, the truth, and in humility. And his preaching to us was, do not exalt yourself. Because he couldn't use you if you're exalted, you know. But if you if you're humble, he'll lift you up. If you exalt yourself, he said he'd put you a base. Man, and he did that to Israel, and he told the prophets, go down to the potter's house and look and see what he does with that clay, and know that I can do the very same thing to Israel. And thank God that he loves me enough that he did the very same thing to me. That's exactly what happened to me when I got to the altar. My will, my lifestyle was mashed, amen, but he made it anew. And aren't you glad for that? Praise God. Anyone else before we close tonight? That's what the apostle said. We are to walk as children. Yeah.
Walk the walk like he did and just hold on to the way. You knew when he taught that it was true what he was saying.
No doubt.
Because not only he lived it. That's what I would like for me to be able to live Christ's life.
That is synonymous. That's basically what he said. And when he said walk the walk, live the life. Live the life as Christ did. And, you know, treat people as Christ did. Love people as Christ did. Witness to people as Christ did. So that he will get the glory. It's not about us lifting ourselves up and getting the glory, but that Christ shall be glory. Amen. God bless you. Brother Jim, would you come? Give him a chance if we need anybody who needs prayer tonight. If not, dismiss us with a word of prayer. Again, thank you all for being here tonight. I love you all so very much. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I love Bible study. I love for it to be broken down like that. I just thank the Lord for His Word. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anyone have a prayer request or need tonight? This altar is open. We'll pray with you. Yes, brother.
Absolutely. Come forward. Yeah.
Come on up. Come on up. Praise God. We'll gather around.